Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message this morning is our epistle reading from 1 John chapter 3. I've chosen to title it, Saints Now and Then. Now, why do you suppose that I selected that title for this message? Normally, when we use that expression, now and then, we mean that something only happens on occasion, but not regularly. For example, Mary Beth and I are blessed, as we were last week, to see our children and grandchildren now and then. It's not all the time, since they live out of state, but now and then, we are blessed to do so. And I think that this is the way that we often think about being saints. Every now and then, you and I get it right. And we actually act like God's saints, His holy people. But I want you to listen carefully to this next statement. That is not the way that God wants us to think about or look at saints here on All Saints Sunday, or frankly, every day. According to the Bible, you and I are and constantly continue to be saints now. Why? Because our text says God calls you saints. And yes, you will be saints then when Christ returns. Not because something in your Christian nature changes at His return, but because God's current declaration of your nature right now never changes, does not change at Christ's return. And I know that this is not the way that most people, even most believers in Christ, currently think about these things. So, how is it that we can say all of this so confidently about saints, especially since this text before us today in 1 John never even uses the word saint? Now, it does, however, say that God calls us children. But it's not just any children, nor does it include all of the children of the world, as so many want to think. No, God calls us children in a very special sense. The Greek grammar in the Bible, in this text, uses what is called a genitive of possession and source. That is, those who are declared by God and made by God to be children belonging to God. We become children by His work, that's the source, and we are His children who belong to Him, that's the possession. And this is not just some symbolic use of the concept. No, we are literal, very real children in the parent-child relationship, regardless of age, those who now belong to God our Father. And it is only by God's love lavished upon us that we believers in Christ are God's unique, beloved children now, today, and then forevermore. This morning, we're going to explore this three-verse text, one verse at a time. John begins the text in verse 1 saying, as a literal translation from the Greek, and I have printed that literal translation on the sermon outline for you to see in each of the verses. He says this, "See the kind of love the Father has given to us, that we have been called children belonging to God. And thus we continue to be. On account of this, the world continually does not know us because it did not know him. Here on All Saints Sunday, we consider those who have been called children belonging to God, especially those who have left this earthly life this past year through death. Since All Saints Day last year, six of our Mount Calvary brothers and sisters have come out of this earthly tribulation to be embraced in the loving arms of their Heavenly Father. And many more of your friends and family members have done the same. And one of the great benefits for us children who remain here at this time is when we gather together at their funerals to intentionally match God's holy work, His holy word, up to His work in their earthly lives. For example, and I'm just going to use a person with the name Jane Doe, because I didn't want to pick one of the six and make the others feel left out. All right? So, for example, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2 says that there is, quote, a time to be born. And we thank God in the obituary, in the funeral, that Jane Doe's earthly life began on October 7th, 1952, to her parents, John and Mary Doe. You all know them, right? John 3:3 says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we praise our Heavenly Father that He caused Jane to be born again as His beloved and redeemed child, adopting her into His Christian family through His exclusive regenerating work. You could say that God fathered her in baptism. And Romans 10, verse 9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So in order to facilitate that, Jane was instructed directly from Scripture in the evangelical Lutheran faith, that is the holy Christian faith, one and the same. And upon completion of that instruction, she confessed that faith in the rite of confirmation at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, we'll say. In Genesis 2, verse 18, God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make for him a helper fit for him. And so we remember how God joined Jane and Sam Smith in the one flesh union of holy marriage on June 14th, 1975, let's say. And after that, in line with Psalm 68, verse 6, we're told that, quote, God settles the solitary in a home, which He does by blessing Jane and Sam with children. And likewise, we remember the other various ways during that service that God blesses Jane in this earthly life, gifting her with talents and abilities, schooling and employment, opportunities to serve God and to serve others around her through her church and other community activities, highlighting her loving compassion, her hospitality, and more. Each of those is unique for each of the persons. And just as Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And Philippians 2, verse 3 calls us to count others more significant than ourselves. So we thank God that He has led Jane to be like and follow those characteristics. And then back to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2, there is a time to die. And so we recount that Jane died on July 25th, 2024, at the age of 71 years, 9 months, and 18 days. Acknowledging, from this earthly perspective at least, that she is survived by her husband and children, her grandchildren, her relatives and friends, but most importantly, we focus in that funeral service on the fact that because she was preceded in death by her Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, so that whoever believes, whoever lives and believes in him isn't really dead. We know, and we take great comfort in the fact that she now enjoys eternal paradise with Jesus, where she awaits the final resurrection of our heavenly home, or to our heavenly home, on the day of Christ's promised return. That's the blessing that so many people miss and don't even recognize is intended to take place in funeral services, Christian services. Most of those things that I just mentioned, though, don't take place at what is popularly called today celebrations of life. Those ceremonies that are performed at the mortuary or in someone's backyard. But when all of that is remembered, when all of that is honored and taken seriously here in our Father's holy sanctuary at a Christian funeral, no one can deny the absolute reality of God, the Father's unmatched love for his daughter Jane, both now and then at Jesus' return. You see, these are concrete, actual historical events that have taken place. There were witnesses from Jane's Christian family at her rebirth and baptism. Fellow believers who heard her confession of faith in her confirmation, and so on. She was a real, live child belonging to God the Father. And still many people try to say that the birth from heaven, being fathered by God, hasn't really happened, that it is just an empty ceremony. But you and I know that's not the case. Those of us who have likewise been made to be and are now called children belonging to God, we have seen the difference firsthand that the new cleansed nature makes in a person's life at conversion or baptism, which is one and the same. We have seen it in our own lives, haven't we? In our day-to-day lives, in our marriages, in our families, and more. We know that it is very real, this life of faith as a child belonging to God. We know that God's love can be seen in his children. That's why John says, "See the kind of love the Father has given to us, that we have been called children belonging to God." We are just as much a real child of God as we are a real child of our earthly parents. But this world in which we live doesn't recognize. It can't even see the new child that we have become. Why? Because it refuses to acknowledge, to recognize God the Father. I mean, even Jesus, God in the flesh, was seen by some in his day as only the child of Joseph and Mary, because their unbelief blinded them to what was obvious in that man, to the reality of God as his Father. Now on to verse 2, again from the original Greek. Beloved, see, he's connecting that love we just talked about. Beloved, we continue to be children belonging to God now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, because we will see him as he continues to be. Now, verse 1 emphasized the Father's undeserved and immeasurable love in coming to us in our sinful state as children belonging only to this corrupt world that is under the devil's influence, and now transforming us into his cleansed, forgiven, and holy children who belong now to him. Only because of Jesus' blood that covers and cleanses all of our impurities. And now verse 2 directs us to see that this redeemed reality in which we live now is ongoing. You see, the first verb in verse 2 is what the Greek language calls a present active indicative verb. I know that's a lot of big grammar talk, but that means that it is describing not only an action that is true right now, but it continues. It's active. It is ongoing, our state of being. We continue to be children belonging to God, the text says. This is crucial to our future because we know from Scripture that Jesus has promised that he is coming back, right? In fact, this verse refers to the fact, quote, that when he is revealed, we will be like him because we will see him as he continues to be. You see, Jesus' present reality as the victorious, risen, ascended, and reigning Savior of our souls also continues to be the same at his return. It uses a present active indicative verb for Jesus there as well. The thing is, we don't see Jesus in his current fleshly appearance in heaven right now, do we? But we know that it is glorious, even as it is something that we can't fully understand right now. But this much we do know from this text and other scriptural texts. We will continue to be children belonging to God in reality. We will continue to exist in a way that we don't know, even as we do not know that, quote, we will be like him. Even as we do know that we will be like him in some way. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21 helps us out when it says that we children belonging to God, quote, await Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. And Job declares that even after his body would be destroyed in the resurrection, his own fleshly eyes, Job says, will see God. And that's all that God has seen fit to reveal to us in Scripture. The rest of the details are not ours to know at this time, which is fine. He's God. We're not. We shouldn't expect to be God because we can't. And we're okay with that. But we know with confidence that when Jesus comes, our bodies will be resurrected and rejoined with our spirits that have been in paradise with Jesus, unless Jesus returns before we die, of course. And we will be there before the heavenly throne in body and soul together for eternity, still children belonging to God, and worshiping Jesus in purity and truth forevermore. And that transitions into verse 3 from the Greek again. And everyone who has this hope in him continues to purify himself just as that one, that is Jesus, continues to be pure. Now, this verse starts out easy enough. It talks about all of the true children belonging to God having hope in him. This hope describes the essence of our Christian faith, the concept of faith, that ours is not a shallow hope in God, but a confident hope of absolute certainty. Martin Luther wrote in his famous Reformation hymn that you will sing later, A mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. Though life be wrenched away, the kingdom's ours forever. That's the confidence that God gave to Martin Luther and the reformers as he emboldened them to put their earthly lives on the line to challenge those corrupt leaders in the Roman Catholic Church and the rest of the world who believed that our salvation and our eternal life was up to us to work out, up to us to earn for ourselves. A false belief that is still held by the majority of people in our world today, but not by us. Because like Luther, we hold fast. We are unwavering to the perfect words of Scripture alone that teaches us clearly that a person is saved always and only by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ, and not by our effort or works. This unchanging Christian faith, this hope then, helps us with the last phrase in verse 3 that might seem a bit confusing at first. It says that a child belonging to God, quote, continues to purify himself, unquote. Now, how is it that we sinners can purify ourselves? We just said that we can't. To be purified in the biblical sense, though, is to be made holy. That is to be a saint. And since I can't make myself a saint, just as I could not make myself a child belonging to God, what is this talking about here? The key is to not take this verse out of its context, but to understand this is to understand this as God intends, to take the entire text in the order that God reveals it to us. Verse 1 sets the foundation that is crystal clear that the only way that you and I and anyone else can ever be called children belonging to God is because of and through the love that only the Father has, quote, given to us. It's a gift. Only the Father has called and made us to be His children of faith in His miraculous rebirthing work of baptism. This then is how we do what the text says. This is who we are now and who we continue to be moving forward into eternity. You see, it's at baptism that God alone makes us pure, that God cleanses us from sin and all of Satan's corruption, including death. So here in this verse, God is simply describing the ongoing nature of His cleansed children as they, as we, walk in this Christian life as the purified children that He has already made us to be, as His saints now today, and then in eternity. And so today, we celebrate. We celebrate our God and Father, who made you His child, one of His saints now, and who keeps you and all of His believing children pure in the blood of Jesus forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forevermore. Amen.